Don't count on me. I'll do it again. Don't count on me. It's the point you're missing. Don't count on me. Cause I'm not listening.
You know what really pisses me off?
I love Corey's soapbox corner. When you start, like, it really pisses me off. It's usually always a fun complaint. Like the old people driving.
Yeah.
Or the old bird people. Lady. Oh, don't get me started on old people. Anyway, oh, the bird lady.
That's a throwback.
My credit card, business credit card, got hacked again.
Again?
Oh, geez.
Again. And the culprit? Wawa.
Yep.
Again.
Oh,
again.
This is the second time in, I don't know, 2 months, they called me and they're like, hey, we're locked your card. We noticed some suspicious activity. Can we go over these charges with you? I'm like, fuck. Yeah, go ahead. It's, you know, down the list. And they're like, is this you? They're like, all right, there's a U.S. gas for $65. Yes, that was me. Okay. And then the next day, they're like, there's another gas station the very next day for $70. I was like,
whoa.
I was like, yeah, that was me too. I said, gas is really tough right now. I said, I drive a lot for my job. And she goes, okay. Then you have a thing here for, you know, whatever I bought. I was like, yep, that was me. She goes, okay. And then we have a dollar authorization charge from Wawa. And I was like, it could be me. I said, I do fill up at Wawa's, but I haven't recently. I said, can you tell me what store it is? I'm like, there should be like a 3 or 4 digit number next.
Oh, yeah,
next
that's
to
true.
The Wawa. And she said, yeah, it's this number. And I typed in Google that, and it was a Wawa that I've never gotten gas at.
Where was it?
Near.
Okay.
It was near me.
Interesting.
I've never gotten gas there, and it would be so far out of my way. I wasn't even near there.
Make sure every time you go somewhere, if you're going to be suspicious, like gas stations especially, when you go to the card reader, just give it a little tug. Not a lot of force, but if it's a...
I'm in Jersey. They do it for you.
So
they caught it, and I guess it turned it off for the dollar authorization.
So the full thing didn't go through.
Unlike last time where they spent $500 on my card.
Wasn't all on gas?
All on gas.
Impressive, honestly.
And so I'm like, I said, that one's not me. She's like, okay, we're going to cancel this card. We're going to send you another one. Of course, it's over the weekend. So,
the 4th of July.
So they're like, I'm like, can you expedite this for me? I said, it's a business card. I said, I need a credit card. And she's like, yeah, we could probably get you one by Wednesday. I'm like, that's fine. I'm thinking, like, I have other credit cards I can use for gas, but you know what? I get the best.
Well, but here's also the other thing. Did you have to work over during the 4th of July?
No, but I had to drive home.
Oh.
So I got really dangerously low to E, but we made it. And I got my new card. And you know what?
Okay, good.
The pain in the ass. It's you know, it's not a big deal. It's just annoying. It's frustrating when this happens because I have so many auto billing things that are linked to my credit card.
Oh, yeah.
And then if you forget something, then they give you a fine or something like a late fee. It's like I had to go down the list day and change at least 15 different subscriptions that are linked to my card. And it's like that's the annoying part. You know, it takes a little time out of your day.
I once got a card lock one evening before Sarah and I went out to we were going to go to dinner at our old place. And I was like, I got to call and like figure out what's going on. Like, just noticed the weird charges. And they did the same thing. They went through my lists and like blankety blank. And they were like, we got like a CC bill charge. I was like, CC bill? That's weird. And they're like, it was like 622. I was like, that's weird. I'm like, what's it from? And they were like, onlyfans.com. And I had to be like, yeah, that one was me. And the guy was like, okay, no problem. I'm like, was that it? He's like, yeah, nothing recently. I was like, nope, that was a authorized charge, that's for sure.
That's
it was a very funny. And I was like, let's go get food.
I appreciate them being on top of it, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
It's just Wawa. Like, I just don't understand why it keeps happening at Wawa.
Probably for that reason. They probably install these skimmers when people aren't around, and like they don't. And the people scanning them, obviously, I wouldn't care if I was them either. I would just be scanning guards.
No, they're going so fast.
You got a job to do.
Yeah, they could. They could be pulling what happened with Target a while back, where for whatever reason their just system kept getting compromised over and over again.
That was my weekend, and the worst was, of course, I missed the call from the bank the first time, so I called back. I waited for 45 minutes.
Don't they have that like callback button feature?
No.
Really?
My bank does not. I'm like, how? You're one of the biggest banks in the country. How do you not have a callback feature?
My little dinky Central PA bank does.
Yeah. They're a national chain. How do you not have this feature?
Yeah. Circling back to running your car on fumes, My car's got the onboard computer where it will tell you like how many gallons of gas you have left. There was one time I ran it so low where it couldn't even give me like a number of like how many gallons or how many miles I had left.
Yeah.
It was just literally two dashes and I was like literally panicking and I'm like, where's the nearest gas station?
That's funny. Yeah, my car doesn't do that.
My first car gas gauge didn't work and I have to run it on the odometer.
Yeah.
So every time I refilled, I had to set the trip meter and then I'd be like, after 120 miles, got to put new, fill the tank up.
Oh, man. I missed you guys last week.
I know. It was weird. Taking a week off really throws me for a funk.
Yeah, I don't think we ever told anybody either.
Probably not.
That's social media, man.
Whoops. I'm going to blame Izzy on this one.
She's literally...
I mean, did any of us inform her that we were going to not...
Well, on Sunday, we didn't have an episode.
She should know. She should know. This is her job.
Yeah. You literally have one job.
Literally two one jobs. Jobs. What's the second job?
Okay.
Look pretty.
Well, that's not a job. She always does that.
Oh, okay. She just does that by default.
Yeah, that's pretty much. That's just her natural state. Yeah. But yeah, no, she should have known.
Yeah, it is weird. When I like don't do it a week, I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Really?
When we skip too much, I'm like, I'm lazy.
Oh, get the fuck off.
Yeah.
Nah,
come on.
I miss it. It's a very fun.
That's a little disheartening seeing that you're the creator of this podcast.
Andres and I will do this without you.
Aww.
We have no problem.
Andres,
we'll find a third person.
Oh, well, yeah, but also I was thinking that regardless
Sarah raised
of
her hand.
Sweet.
She's in.
All for it.
Get out.
But
and then
I also
just keep showing up as the guest each episode.
Yeah. Honestly, I was I've come to the conclusion that at some point or another it's only going to be two out of the three of us regardless of what combination it is for like a thousand different reasons.
Who's leaving?
Yeah, what's happening?
It's not that no one's leaving. It's that one of us is not going to make it for an episode or two, so it's only going to be two people doing the show.
Oh, just for one episode?
Yeah, for like one episode.
What's going to happen is the show I'm producing is going to get too big, and I'm going to get too famous. I'm going to say, fuck you guys.
It's fine.
Well, you could invest in our podcast.
You know what? You're right.
He's got you there, bud.
You got me there. I'll do that.
He's got you by the bears.
Or how about this? And let's just cut out the middleman and you, or excuse me, not cut out the middleman, but cut out the podcast and you just put money directly into Christian and mine's pockets.
Yeah, fuck you. Speaking of bears, I was at a real estate shoot the other day and Andres, I was wearing the Three Bear gear.
Yeah.
And the old woman looks at my stuff. She goes, Three Bear Studios? Where's the other two bears?
Yes.
And I said, "Oh, yes. They're in the cave hibernating."
I keep telling you, it's going to be even more confusing when we have a crew of four.
Yeah, wow.
Change the name every time you hire a new person.
Four Bear Studios.
Yeah.
Boys.
Christian.
Yes.
Episode 24? 5?
4. Episode 24.
Jesus.
Yeah. Wow.
Still waiting on that thing you're going to do for us.
I told you episode 30.
Is that what you said?
Yeah. Don't worry, I'm fucking aware of it. Calm down there, Mr. Okay. Man.
He's yelling at me.
I am.
Well, you're the one who's next to him. Hit him or something.
You're right.
We're being recorded. This will be abuse. I will use lawyer.
This is only audio recording.
Oh, well, we heard the slap, and I'll make sure it's amplified.
You didn't hear anything.
You still can't prove that you got hit.
Yeah, that's right. I hit you, but you can't prove it.
Yeah,
isolate that audio.
No,
I hit you. Yeah. My ringtone from
Corey. Corey, stop hitting Christian. Corey, stop hitting Christian.
That's not my hand.
My ringtone for you now is going to be, I hit you. I hit you. I hit you.
You should have seen Christian turn his head around today, and he looked like a Neanderthal. Neanderthal. Wait, look at this. You got to take the glasses off for full effect.
Oh, they were on.
Were they?
Yeah.
I don't think they were.
I like how you have like the adjustable strap like on your brow.
Yeah, he doesn't have eyebrows.
Oonga booga. Grug, wake up. Grug, get fish. Grug, eat fish.
Yeah. So yeah,
that's your party mode.
Party mode. No more Christian. Only Grug. Okay, well let's go Grug mode and let's get some trivia.
Trivia.
Yeah. I'm Christian with my co-hosts.
Hey, it's Corey.
And
Andres.
And today, Corey and I are together. I can touch him.
Ooh, don't touch me there. That
but
is
Andres
my no-no square.
Andres is not. He is in...
Location redacted.
We can just say location redacted.
And today, we're going to give you some trivia.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we missed last week.
Uh-huh.
Yes, we did.
Sorry about that. Shenanigans. We didn't feel like celebrating the 4th.
Yeah.
No need.
It was really just because Andres was in California and...
Mm-hmm.
by the time he got back, we just couldn't make it. Time work.
It happens.
Yeah.
But you know what? Stuff happens, and we're back. And you're back. You know what? Yeah. It's our show. We'll do what we fucking want.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Alrighty, well,
I'm sorry, that was aggressive.
Boys.
Oh, it's a fine direction to go in. We'll put out content when we can, and they'll listen to it when we can.
Did you hear that?
Or when they can.
You hear that, Colleen? You hear that? she actually did text me. I just...
Wow.
Sorry. Colleen, I take it back. I didn't mean that.
Yeah, just stop being fucking mean to her.
I'm sorry. Boys, yeah. She's great.
When I say hunky chunky monkey president of the United States, who do you think of?
William Taft.
That's a good one.
Andres?
I wasn't prepared for this, so I'll ride on Corey's coattails. I'll say Taft.
Good thing you picked Taft, because my questions this week are all about William Howard Taft. So
certainly didn't know that because he didn't tell me about it earlier.
Oh, that's true. I forgot. Well, yeah. You should still think William Howard Taft because Hunky Chunky Monkey is him.
Here's also the other problem. You said Chunky Monkey in that phrase, so my mind immediately went to Ben and Jerry's, which is my favorite flavor.
That's a good one.
I figured you would have thought.
Yeah, I had some for dessert tonight.
Very nice, bud.
Yeah.
I did not have dessert. My dessert are these yummy, delicious, fun facts for you. William Howard Taft, we will call him WHT for short, was our what president? Was he our 15th president? Was he our 22nd president? Was he our 27th president? Or was he our 29th president? WFT. William Howard Taft.
He was our, say the options again.
15, 22, 27, 29. What do you choose, boo?
I think he was 22.
22nd president, William F. Taft.
Yeah.
I'm going 29.
29th, 22nd. William H. Taft is our 27th president.
No shit. You
guys got it wrong. William F. Taft is not 29 or 22. William D. Taft was the only president, guys.
Yes.
To do what? Was he the only president to be Speaker of the House before his time as presidency? Was he the only president who was a governor of New York before his presidency? Was he the only president who then became the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court after his presidency? Or was he the only president to work as a chef after his presidency? Because back then, they didn't have a pension system yet. That is William M. Taft.
Could I have the first option again, please?
Speaker of the House.
You got that right about Speaker William of the House. L. Taft.
Okay.
I think you just said William B. Taft.
Buddy, I've been changing that middle initial the whole
time. Yeah, okay. You only noticed that one?
I'm going with the chef one, because I think it chef? Might be ridiculous enough to make sense.
Yeah, I'm going with the chef one, too.
So,
on the same logic.
Boys, you're right about something. There was no pension system, and he didn't need a job after his presidency. He has been the only president who's been a Supreme Court justice after his time as president. He was Chief Justice William V. Taft.
Wait, so we are wrong?
No.
Yeah, you
guys got it wrong.
You guys were wrong. You picked chef.
Well, way to make that really fucking confusing.
Yeah, I don't think it was that confusing.
I was confused.
I bet
you did. You were a little ambiguous about the answer.
You said because you're correct about the pension.
Yeah, but
and then you just started.
Yeah,
speaking.
You were the one who said the thing about the pension, Christian.
I hate you.
William K. Taft could have understood this. So we know our bulbous boy, our voluptuous man, our chunky monkey as a big boy. He was big. Everyone knows he's got the shaky gut. Yeah. I mean, he was handsome. He was bulbous, though. He was. I'm just, as a fat man, to see somebody of his stature descend to the highest,
get on with it.
Highest position. This is so good. How fat was he? What was his weight? Did he weigh 270 to 300 pounds, 325 to 350 pounds, 250 to 270 pounds, or 300 to 325 pounds?
Oh, there's a lot of ranges in there. I'm going with the big boy, 300, whatever you said, 325.
To 350?
Yeah.
Okay.
What was the second option again?
325 to 350.
Oh, yeah, I'll go with that
one. You guys both say that? William Howard Taft was 325 pounds to 350 pounds. Fluctuated a bit. He's a big man.
He's a big man.
He did lose 70 pounds after his presidency by cutting out most... cutting out most liquor and meat from his diet.
I pressed the wrong button. Sorry.
Oh, good for him. He cut out like the two things that'll kill you the fastest, alcohol and animal fat.
I think just liquor. I imagine Taft still probably drank beer because they specifically said liquor.
Oh, okay. Well, still, that's still, you cut out, if he was drinking mostly liquor, then
that's fair.
That's still healthier.
So we know Taft, like I said, is a hefty human.
Yes.
What happened to William M. Taft?
He went on vacation.
Because of his weight.
Oh.
Was he?
He went to fat camp.
Did he get stuck in the White House bathtub? Did he have to go through the Oval Office door by wiggling because he just couldn't go through it straight through? Did he flood a hotel when he got into his tub? Or did he need to get a second White House chef because the first one was only trained to cook these like specific meals that weren't that big and Taft didn't want that?
If I was a president, I would have a chef for every single day.
They do have a chef every
single
day.
Multiple chefs.
They have a chef for every single day, bud.
Yeah.
It's called an in-house chef. He works every day.
Shut the fuck up. He got stuck in the bathtub.
In the bathtub. Andreas, yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, he got stuck in the bathtub.
You're both wrong. That is a myth.
What?
Though he did install a bigger bathtub, did not get stuck in the bathtub.
I don't believe it.
William Howard Taft did, though.
That's like the one thing everyone knows about him.
William Howard Taft did flood a hotel by getting into his bathtub, not accounting for water displacement, and just poured water on the people below him in the first floor.
This deserves that.
I don't care how big you are. That's just poor decision-making.
That's just science.
Yeah, correct.
Actually, it is 100% science. That's what the dude did to find out how much gold was in that
gold
crown for that king. Did you guys learn that at school?
Gold.
Like
their hills.
Yeah, like you. That's how you like learn what is it? Like the volume?
Yeah.
No, the surface area of some weirdly shaped objects.
Yes.
Yeah. Something like that.
I don't know. Something about that. Last question, boys. Yeah. Okay. William Howard Taft was the last president to rock beautiful, beautiful facial hair.
Okay.
True.
Yeah, that is true. That was a statement I was making.
Oh, okay.
What facial hair did he have? Did he have a beautiful mustache? Did he have a bushy beard? Did he have mutton chops? Or did he have little chin hair and a mustache?
I think he had the nice round, what are those called?
Curly mustache? Mustache?
Yeah.
yeah, those.
Yeah.
Specifically that?
Yeah, with mutton chops.
That wasn't
that wasn't an option. It was either a mustache,
chin hair, and mustache, or mustache alone.
Oh, I'm going the big mustache.
Oh, you're going just mustache?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
I'll go with the mustache and the chin hair.
Well, boys, Corey's right.
All right,
William Howard Taft just had a mustache. He was our last president with facial hair, and it was a nice mustache. I will give him that.
Do you know why he was the last president with facial
hair? Probably World War I.
What
invention of the safety razor?
Oh.
Oh, yeah. That's a good little fact.
Thanks, bud.
Was it?
Yeah, no problem.
Was it the mustache I was talking about?
No, it's not big and curly. There's a little bit of curve on it, but it's not like a villain.
That's disappointing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
General Burnside is the reason we have William Sideburns.
Wow.
Yeah.
And my dad, in his infinite wisdom, as we were driving through Gettysburg, he was like, oh, yeah, General Sideburns. Close, Dad.
Yeah.
Thanks for the information about William X. Taft.
You're welcome. I'm always happy to give some
information. Yeah, I enjoyed learning about William Z. Taft.
Always happy to give some information about William A. Taft. Does anybody remember, did we talk about the Nickelodeon President song?
No.
Do you remember that? President's Day.
I do remember that.
Yeah, because there was like William Howard Taft with the belly out to here. There's like
something like
first
that.
First name Millard, why'd you name me that? That kind of stuff. That's every president we had so far. I feel like I talked about this on the show.
You know, I'm vaguely remembering.
That's every single one?
Yeah.
I was going
to
say.
They got to FDR and all of a sudden he just shouts, elected four times.
That was all my questions. I just want to let you know it's done.
Yeah. But yeah.
Thanks.
Those are some very nice questions.
Very nice Christians questions.
Yes.
I'm glad you liked it. I really thought it was a surely no one would know anything about Taft, and I was mostly right. And the one thing you guys and the one thing you guys thought you knew about Taft, you didn't.
Yeah. God damn it.
Yeah. Was that a goat?
That was a goat. You know why?
Why?
Because back in the olden days, couriers used to use goats. Did you know that?
For what?
No, I didn't.
They used
that.
To put little things on the goats, like a satchel, and they would put letters in them, and it'd be the male goat.
The male goat. What if it was a girl goat? Would it be the female goat?
It would be the female male goat. Nice.
It would be the female male goat.
That's right. That's what I just
female
said.
Female male.
Anyway, so that goat from years and years ago has been just trudging along through grinding. The forest, grinding, and eventually it landed in
San Francisco?
San Francisco.
Okay.
Where then it walked across the Golden Gate Bridge.
Okay.
Okay.
And then all the way to North Jersey.
What'd he do there?
He stopped at Andres' house.
Okay.
And he said, and Andres went, "You have a letter for me?" And he went, "Meh." And Andres said, "Well, who's it from?" And he went, "Meh." And Andres said, "Did you say the listener submitted question of the week?" And the goat went, "Ooh." And the goat went, "Meh, meh." And Andres went, "The listener
submitted question of the week."
And then the goat played music out of a boombox because it's just play the song.
It's Dumb Trivia's listener submitted question of the week.
And that's when they took Andres to the hospital for his fever, right?
He was having a stroke.
Yeah, that's not good. It's not good at all. But cool, listener submitted question of the week. That's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Okay, boys. Andres, you do have one though, right?
Yes, goat, I do. Yeah. Before well, before we continue, oh, sure. Izzy, once you listen to this, the female male goat, definitely a new sticker idea.
Oh, ideas, Izzy. See, we're doing your job for you. I take that back. Don't leave that in. She's going to kill me. Izzy, I love
She's
you.
She's going to kill you.
Oh, I kind of want to now.
Today's listener submitted question of the week is another one of our handwritten letters from Nate.
Ooh,
Nate?
We like it.
Hey, yes. Nate. This is for you, buddy.
All right. Before I open
can
this,
you
I'll
not yawn
for
Nate's question.
I wasn't yawning. I was getting the yawn out of the way for Nate's question, so I didn't yawn during it.
Nate, I'm so sorry for Christian's actions. He's a dick.
Don't you get self righteous from me, you goddamn fucking bastard! I swear to God, I will shit in your bed.
All right. I'm gonna roll the dice to see how many points we're all gonna get.
Okay. Don't you wish you were here, buddy? All right. What's our question for Nate? Oh wait, you roll. What'd you roll?
Yeah. Okay, I know this is bad, but it's like,
I'm
who gets green again?
Green, me.
Okay, well, Christian, you're going to get 2 points should you get this correct.
Nice.
Corey, if we get this correct, we're both going to get one.
Continuing the trend.
All right, Andres, what did Nate have to say?
Nate, if you're listening, this is the envelopes you sealed with the red wax.
Ooh.
Wait, let's see it. Oh, wait, I want to see the wax. There it is.
Oh.
Yeah. All right, so this week's listener submitted question of the week is... Oh, Jesus. All right. What was the...
It's a great way to start. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Fuck.
What was the inspiration, or at least the most accepted theory, for the Cacodemon in the Doom video games?
Oh, I'm glad he read that.
Okay.
Me.
Yeah.
That would have been me over there going,
the Cacodemon, if I believe it's the...
Wait. Let us give it the choices.
No, yeah, I mean, we have inspiration, but I was trying to like describe what it was, and I believe it is the floating one with one eyeball.
Okay, you are correct. There is a picture.
Oh, nice.
Wait, can I see the picture?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, I never played Doom, so I can't see. It's all blurry.
Okay. I'll send you guys a pic.
That's okay. I got the gist of it.
Yeah. I played Doom a little bit, but I don't think I've ever seen this one before. Haven't gotten that far in it. All right, so. What was the inspiration? Our options are A, based off of a dream the creators had after a Sunday school lesson. Excuse me. B, a rotting pumpkin. C, a beholder from Dungeons and Dragons. Or D, a soccer ball that got kicked into a fire.
I'm going to go beholder. That is a does look like a beholder, just with one eye instead of many.
I'm just going to go with the rotting pumpkin.
Yeah. For the sake of variety, I was thinking I'll go with the soccer ball that got kicked into a fire.
All good guesses.
Yes, all very good guesses. Let me open up the answer.
You're going to shout out the knife today, Andres?
Oh, I'm just using a letter opener.
You are so hot.
Thank you. I try.
All right.
I enjoy the knife content, but...
Yeah, well, I do have a collection that I could go through.
No, whatever.
What's the answer? I'll deal with him later.
First the farts and now this, Christian. You were being so fucking difficult tonight.
Oh, did you see how he snapped that pavement? That sucks.
Official.
Yeah. Well, Christian, you're getting 2 points because the answer is C, a beholder from Dungeons & Dragons.
I thought so.
Bullshit.
Do they have a picture of the beholder on there?
Yes, and also there is a write-up as well.
Nice.
2 points for Christian. All right, so yes, the answer is C, a beholder from Dungeons & Dragons. The monster's general visual design is similar to that of the Beholder, a similarly one-eyed classic Dungeons & Dragons monster with eye stalks instead of horns. In addition, the Cacodemon was created from a cropping of a creature that appears on the cover of Manual of the Plains, a Dungeons & Dragons expansion book. The creature itself is known as an Astral Dreadnought and was created by Jeff Easley for that book. Doom Eternal makes a reference to the Astral Dreadnought in its Codex entry for the cultist base.
Interesting. I never read the Codexes for Doom Eternal.
Yeah. Yeah, citing a mythic Cyclopean giant from Argent Dinur's past called an Agadian, I think is how you pronounce it. The cover art, and then Nate provides the cover art for the Manual of Planes.
Here you go, Corey.
So let me see if I can send you guys a picture of this real quick.
Cacodemon, that's what Corey has to fight every morning.
Yeah, I see. I see the resemblance.
Corey, you're just your dirty fucking liar.
What?
It's not there yet.
No, check your phone. It says it was delivered.
Oh, yep, yeah, that's him.
Oh yeah, look at that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Nate.
It's the Eye of the Beholder, yeah. I guess.
That's fascinating. Yeah, thank you, Nate.
Appreciate that, dude.
Yeah.
I like Doom and Dungeons and Dragons. That was a good crossover.
Shout out to you, Nate. Shout out to you.
Yeah.
You're a good man, Charlie Brown.
I appreciate them being sealed in wax. The extra dramatic flair is nice.
Oh, absolutely.
It's more fun, you know? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Anybody seen any good movies recently?
The last movie I saw in theaters was the Bob's Burgers movie.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
I watched all the Predators last week.
Yeah.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
And good movies, too.
I like the Predators. And then I wanted, because I originally started watching Alien vs. Predator because I haven't seen that. And I watched Alien vs. Predator Requiem. And I was like, well, I haven't seen the new Predators. So let's watch the new Predators. Then I was like, I'm going to write a screenplay for Predator vs. RoboCop because I feel like it would work because, like, Predators hunt, like, foes that they deem worthy. And then I was like, oh, I'm shopping this idea. It'll be an awesome mashup. Then I found out Disney owns the rights to fucking Predator. They're never going to let Metro-Goldmeyer work with them on something.
Yeah.
I could see Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer doing something like that. I couldn't see Disney giving it up to let.
No.
Plus, with how Disney's doing anything family friendly now, you give me another PG-13 RoboCop, I swear to God, I'm going to flip.
Yeah, the last movie I saw in theaters was the new Jurassic World. It was terrible.
I did hear that was bad.
Mm.
So fuck.
Yeah. Andres, what were you about to say about RoboCop? I got excited.
Oh, if RoboCop is PG-13, then it's not worth watching.
Exactly.
Because at least that first one, that was a, like, hard R, violent.
Freeze, creep.
I thought it was your move, creep.
Oh, maybe it is, actually.
Freeze, move, creep.
This is a good movie. That was that,
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
That's Predator.
Build it, they will come.
Joe Predator almost had three governors
Field
in
of
it.
Dreams.
What does that mean?
Jesse Ventura, governor of Minnesota.
Oh,
Schwarzenegger, governor of California.
Schwarzenegger.
And then one of the other actors ran for governor also.
Oh, that's cool.
I think the best line in I love in Predator. Corey, have you seen Predator?
Yeah.
Okay, I love the one dude just constantly making jokes about, for some reason, how big his wife's vagina is. They're just like, he keeps making jokes about it. He was like, one time I was going down on my wife, and I was like, boy, your vagina's big. And that was the joke.
I don't remember that. Oh, my God. Really,
no, I haven't watched Predator in so long.
Give it a rewatch. On Hulu right now.
Oh, okay, cool.
But no, best line still is the guy going to Jesse, being like, you're bleeding, man. He's like, ain't got time to bleed. Like, no, Jesse, you're bleeding.
There's a lot of good lines in that movie.
Such a good movie.
You know what I like about movies?
Mother. What?
Are you a huge cunt?
Us too.
Wait, can we even say cunt?
Of course. It's empowering these days. Cunt, 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 cunt. I'm Ange Balasone, a.k.a. the drag queen, Fat Girl Gina.
And I'm Mike Fails, just a normal gay guy, I guess?
And we're the hosts of The Big Cunty Couch.
A gorgeous new talk show podcast where we invite queers and peers to sit, bitch, and be fierce on a huge-ass couch.
While we gab about all things gay.
So come get cozy.
And cunty.
With us. We're pan for platforms, so find us anywhere online and get listening, sweetie.
Or watching.
Or both.
Otherwise, why the hell am I in full drag?
And we'll see you on the big... Wait. I thought we were going to say that together.
No. On the big cunty couch. Mwah.
Sometimes...
That was a listener submitted question of the week.
Oh, wait. You're right.
Yeah.
Play the music.
It's Dumb Trivia's Listener Submitted Question of the Week. Now back to the show.
What do you like about movies?
You know what I like about movies.
Christian, have fun editing that one.
Every once in a while, an amazing director comes along, and they direct some of the best movies that you've seen, and they just inspire you and makes you want to become a filmmaker.
Beben Bilberg.
And then there's other times the directors come along, and you just fucking despise
them. You brought this on yourself, bud.
Today's questions are all about Quentin Tarantino.
Yes!
feet.
I'm not going to cheat. I promise. There's no fun in that.
For everyone out there, I despise Quentin Tarantino.
With a burning passion, It's amazing.
I hate his movies. I can't stand him just as a person.
Wait, disclaimer. While we love Corey to death, he has some weird movie takes, and this is one of them. Like, we're talking like some fucking rotten, poopy movie takes.
Just because I don't like the movies that you
I'm not saying I have good movie takes. Again, my favorite movies are something like Clown Massacre 5. It's banned in Brazil, and it's a snuff film.
Your movie views are shit.
No, my movie views, I love shit movies. My movie views are good, though.
Incorrect.
That's the difference.
So you're telling me that my opinions are wrong, but yours are right.
Yes.
Fuck you.
And Christian's correct about his movie views in the sense that he's fully aware that he likes, like, B, C, D tier rated, like, just like cheaply made, like, possibly incredibly cheesy movies.
Straight to DVD.
Quentin Tarantino makes arguably some really great movies, and that's why your opinion is incorrect, Corey.
See, I don't think it is. Anyway, this is episode 24.
Okay. It is episode 24.
Because I have it written down. Yes. Here. Yeah, I fucking hate Tarantino.
He does have a dumb face.
He has a really dumb face. Here, no, let me explain. Shut up. Let me explain something.
Oh, no, the floor is yours. Go for it.
Let me explain something. I hate his directorial style.
It's me eating popcorn.
I hate his style. I hate his movies. There's something about the way he storytells that just annoys me. I don't know. There's just something about it I don't like. I just don't like him. I don't like his voice. I don't like his face.
So I guess by extension, you wouldn't like samurai and spaghetti western movies.
Shut up for a second. Okay. There is no doubt, and I will admit this, that he is talented at what he does.
Yeah. As a
writer, fantastic.
Okay.
He's a great writer. You don't get to this level of success without being amazing at what you do, you know, over and over again. There's no question about that. If he had one really great movie, then it could just be a total just like, you know, miracle.
Looking at you, M. Night Shyamalan.
Remind me to say something about that in a minute. He's amazing at what he does. I just don't like his style of making movies.
That's okay.
Okay.
I said my piece. Let's get on with the questions.
Okay.
Speaking of M. Night Shyamalan, Joe and I watched Old the other night. Fucking terrible.
No, I think I love God. M. Night Shyamalan. Because I think
he was the best actor in the movie.
The best twist M. Night Shyamalan.
Whoa. He put himself in
the movie. He does.
He does.
I didn't realize
The best twist M. Night Shyamalan has ever, ever pulled was putting out The Fucking Happening and the twist being it was a comedy, not a horror movie.
I've never seen that.
It's
great. What a waste of fucking time Old was.
The beach that makes it old. But no, you wouldn't like old Japanese samurai movies or spaghetti westerns then.
Spaghetti westerns.
Oh, because they're like the fast, weird shots.
I like spaghetti westerns.
Okay.
Yeah. What was the one Tarantino movie that you liked? I forget.
Me?
Yeah.
We can just listen to 10.
Because I remember you specifically liked one of them.
Reservoir Dogs.
No, it was...
Was it The Hateful Eight?
I didn't see Hateful Eight. What was the
Once Upon a Time, upon a time in, Hollywood. In Hollywood?
Maybe it was Hateful Eight. I didn't see Once Upon a
Kill
Time
Bill,
in Hollywood.
Kill Bill 2.
I didn't like Kill Bill.
Pulp Fiction.
I just didn't like Pulp. It was the one they were in the desert with slaves.
Django Unchained.
Django. I like Django.
Okay.
Django's good.
Besides some of the blood, but I know that's his like style. Like,
yeah, it's a joke.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny.
Stuff like that, I don't like.
You don't like the pulpy?
No, because I think it just kind of takes away from the story. Like, you have such an amazing story, and then like that shit happens.
You remember that interview he had about that where like some like reporter is like going off on him. It's like, why did you have to make something so violent and so grotesque and so bloody? And he just like bursts out, because it's fun.
It's so much fun, Jan.
Oh my God, that's right. Yeah. M. Night Shyamalan, speaking of him, is filming a movie like 10 minutes down the road from me.
Yeah, I know. He loves to be down around.
Oh, really?
Well, he's from here.
Yeah, he was from Philly.
Yeah, and old. They kept saying I'm from Philadelphia, the main characters, when they clearly had weird fucking accents. I don't...
Hey, that's up there with them fucking shooting in Glasgow for World War Z and being like, yeah, it takes place in downtown Philly.
So anyway, so question number one.
Okay.
All about Tarantino this
feet.
Week.
Foot fetish. Toes.
How many feet has he licked in his lifetime?
50 million.
You're correct.
Yay. Okay.
Which Tarantino movie opens in an airport? Is it A, Kill Bill, B, Pulp Fiction, C, Reservoir Dogs, or D, Jackie Brown?
I'm saying Jackie Brown because that's the one I haven't seen.
Don't look at my phone.
Yeah, I'm right. I'm right there with you. It's for the same exact logic, Christian. Yeah, I think it's Jackie Brown.
I hate to tell you this, boys.
We wrong.
Yeah.
Damn.
No, you're right. It's Jackie Brown.
I was going to say, I liked all those movies.
You schmuck. You had us going there for a second.
Jackie Brown's an innocent flight attendant accidentally gets involved in a confusing situation, including police and an arms dealer.
Very nice.
Uh-oh.
Sounds interesting enough.
Okay. Yeah. Number two.
Okay.
Yes.
In 1987, Tarantino wrote and directed his first film, My Best Friend's Birthday. Before the film was completed, a fire during editing destroyed the master negative. Tarantino, however, was able to sell the screenplay that in 1993 starred Christian Slater and Patricia Arquette at odds with both the law and a cabal of diabolical lowlives. To what was the title changed?
Oh.
Was it A, Muriel's Wedding, B, True Romance, C, Dazed and Confused, or D, Shortcuts?
Like you throwing in Dazed and Confused in there.
Yeah.
I don't know, Muriel's Wedding?
Yeah, could you please read the options for me again?
Muriel's Wedding, True Romance, Dazed and Confused, or Shortcuts? And the original title was My Best Friend's Birthday.
What was the second option?
True Romance.
Yeah, I'll go with that one.
You're going with Muriel's Wedding?
Yeah.
Andres, you're correct.
Hey!
Whoa, up, dude? Total guess.
True Romance. Although his name is on the credits as screenwriter, opening scenes are predictive of later Tarantino films. Slater meets Arquette at a kung fu movie. She confesses that she works as a prostitute, but since they are in love, they get married anyway. From there, the plot twists and turns, augmented by outstanding performances in supporting or cameo roles such as Dennis Hopper, Val Kilmer, Gary Oldman, Brad Pitt, and Christopher Walken.
Jeez.
Sharp eyes may That's spot James cast. Gandolfini, Samuel L. Jackson, Tom Sizemore, Chris Penn, and Conchata Ferrell.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is Patricia Arquette related to David Arquette?
I don't think so.
Is Andres frozen?
No.
No, I'm just thinking.
Oh, that was you held that well, dude.
I don't know who Conchata Ferrell is.
In relation to or Will?
I'm not sure either. Yeah. But every other name I had heard of, and it was like, geez, this is a great cast.
Yeah.
That is a wild cast. That's like did you ever look at the cast from Mars Attacks? You appreciate it a lot more when you're older.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Sorry. I had a little bit more on that.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize. Director Tony Scott changed Tarantino's ending because he said he fell in love with the two lead characters. Tarantino commented that the change improved the film. True Romance garnered a 93% from Rotten Tomatoes.
Sounds interesting. Nice.
If I remember correctly, Tony Scott is Ridley Scott's brother, and he directed Top Gun.
Oh, really?
The new one or old one?
The first one.
Oh, okay. Cool. Number three?
Yeah.
Yes.
Which Tarantino movie was really only half of a movie, the other half being directed by Robert Rodriguez?
Ooh.
Was it A, Four Rooms, B, Kill Bill Volume 1, Kill Bill Volume 2,
ooh,
or Death Proof?
Oh. Hmm. I'll go Death Proof.
Okay. Death Proof? Christian?
Christian?
Death Proof. The other one was Planet Terror.
What?
Christian's cheating and looking at my phone.
No, I'm not, because I can tell you all about the movie Grindhouse is what it's called with both those movies.
So he's
did we both get?
Yeah,
we both got it right. Okay.
So Death Proof, the film that was originally released theatrically as part of Grindhouse 2007, a double feature that combined Death Proof with Robert Rodriguez's Planet Terror. After Grindhouse underperformed at the domestic box office, Death Proof was released as a standalone feature in other countries and on home media. It received mostly positive reviews for its stunt sequences and tribute to exploitation cinema. Although its pace its pacing was criticized.
Do you want to know some more fun things about The Grindhouse?
Sure.
The movies Hobo with a Shotgun and Machete came from fake trailers in that movie in between the two films shown. They showed a bunch of fake trailers and a bunch of directors did it. Eli Roth did one
called
Thanksgiving, which looks really cool, like a Thanksgiving horror movie, but they never made. That's where Machete came from. That was one of them. Same with Hobo with a Shotgun. Robert Rodriguez also did a movie called From Dusk Till Dawn, which starred Quentin Tarantino and George Clooney, and Selma Hayek was very, very good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, Machete was awesome.
I love Machete.
Oh, that's such a fun ride.
And then Machete takes place in the Spy Kids universe, canonically. In Spy Kids, Danny Trejo plays Uncle Machete. Yes.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, Uncle that's right. Shit, I forgot about that. I forgot about that. Shit.
So, like, I don't care what anybody says. That's canonical.
Yeah, that's funny.
Okay.
All right, number
four. Then it's going to get a little weird just because the actress who played the main girl in Spy Kids is in one of the sequels of Machete.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Still waiting for Machete in Space.
Number four?
Yes.
I have a feeling you guys are going to get this one. This one seems easy now that I'm looking at it.
Yeah. Okay.
According to at least two of Tarantino's movies, which is a very painful place to be shot? Is it A?
Oh.
Is it A, the face? B, the hand? C, the kneecap? Or D, the ankle?
Well, I think the answer is yes.
Yeah. Not the, I will say this though, not the answer that I thought, or none of the options are... Yeah. Are what I thought was going to be.
Andres, I'm saying
what did you think?
Stomach.
Yeah.
Reservoir Dogs, yeah. But I'm going to say knee, though.
Yeah. Well, hang on. Before I give my final answer, can I please have the options again?
Face, hand, kneecap, ankle.
Again, yes.
But nothing's enough to persuade me to answer differently, so I'm going kneecap as well.
You're both correct.
Ah!
Yeah, because I...
In Kill Bill Volume 1, Kill Bill Volume 2, Bill says to Beatrix, Uma Thurman, Beatrix, that the next shot would be in her kneecap, and that he hears that it is a painful place to be shot. In Reservoir Dogs, Mr. White tells Mr. Orange that along with the kneecaps, the gut is the most painful place you can be shot.
Oh!
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Reservoir Dogs.
Okay. Oh, right. Reservoir Dogs is so good.
Number five. All about this awful Tarantino guy. Which Tarantino movie features the songs, plural, Stuck in the Middle with You and Fool for Love?
Stuck in the middle with you.
Yeah,
Reservoir Dogs.
Is it Reservoir Dogs?
It's a very iconic scene.
Yeah. Because that's when who is it? Is it Mr. White?
I think.
Is it Mr. White?
Yeah,
Mr. White's
bonus question.
Mr. White's torturing the cop, and he's got the straight edge.
Yeah.
Bonus question: since you both wet farted,
you picked a topic we both really like.
Where was Quentin Tarantino born?
I'm not
giving you options.
We got 50 states. Do you just want a state?
State.
Pennsylvania.
I think it's a. I think he's a little too weird to come from a mainstream state, so I'm going to say Wyoming.
Have you been to PA? It's pretty fucking weird.
Oh, of course it is, but, you know, you got two really big cities out of PA. What the hell's in fucking Wyoming?
Both of you are incorrect.
One congressional district.
He was born in Knoxville, Tennessee.
I could see that.
No shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Never mind.
Thank you. Those were very fun questions.
Where was Steven Spielberg born?
Jersey.
Incorrect.
Oh. Hampshire.
Nope.
New Hampshire.
Nope.
Old Hampshire.
Nope.
Middle Hampshire.
Nope.
Youngish Hampshire.
Yes.
Okay. California.
Ohio.
Oh.
Really?
And then he lived in Jersey.
Okay. I knew he had some connection to Jersey.
Yeah. He was like two towns over from here.
Yeah. It was cool. You knew him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Beeb and Bielberg.
He's my uncle.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you guys where Beeb and Bielberg came from? Have you ever heard me say that?
No.
We're playing the game Taboo with my family, and it was like you get a name and you're like supposed to describe something without saying certain words. And my dad was like, dude, I don't know. Rhymes with Beeb and Bielberg. And we're like, new rule, Mitch. So it's a running gag.
That's funny.
Yeah. You got to make that into a shirt for him.
Rhymes with Beeb and Bielberg. Honestly, that would be kind of funny.
Yeah.
Thanks, Corey.
You're welcome.
Those were really good.
I'm sure that was incredibly painful for you, but those were some good questions.
Fucking terrible.
Hey, you know what, bud? I think you did a great job.
But
and
Andres is the reason it was in my head.
Yes, Andres woke up and chose violence this morning.
He did choose violence this morning.
He's absolutely just ripping into
glory. He was coming at me hard. He was.
Hey, speaking of coming, and Quentin Tarantino, today's sponsor is by Little Alice's Petite Toesies. Ooh. Little Alice's Petite Toesies. When you need a little something-something in your life, you call Little Alice, and she shows you her petite toesies. According to Quentin Tarantino, it's so much fun, Jan! Little Alice's Petite Toesies.
We're gonna get fucking sued by Quentin Tarantino
again. It'd be cool. He listens.
That's right. No. That would be fucking cool.
Yeah, he listens.
That, we would frame that lawsuit.
Oh yeah, 100%. Oh yeah. Also, shoot for what? He likes feet.
He does like
yeah,
feet.
Yeah, but here's also the other thing. Wouldn't it be regardless of who it comes from? Wouldn't it be fun if we got like a cease and desist letter from like somebody from using unlicensed content? I think that would be fun.
Feel like you're really stop talking about Mr. Tarantino.
Yeah, you're really gonna come after three guys with three fucking microphones for unlicensed content?
Yes.
Yo, we're fucking rich.
I think. I think
it's more
ever
me doing music.
Well, that's because your music sucks.
Actually, you know what? I made a decent amount of money. My dad always...
And I chose violence today. Damn.
My dad always said he was very jealous of me because he never broke even playing live.
I bought your album.
I think you did. Oh, I was just talking about my old shitty punk music days. Spooky horror music hasn't made that much
money.
Wait
until you guys see our spooky movie. Horror movie. That Christian's doing the score for that we haven't started editing yet, but we shot like 4 years ago.
It was very young.
That's right.
I actually started writing an actual screenplay. I have 4 pages in already.
Yeah.
Did that in 25 minutes.
Oh, nice.
I was very proud. Yeah. I decided to stop trying to make something like artsy fartsy and highbrow. I'm like, you know what also I know? Shitty B horror movies. I'm making a slasher.
Yeah.
Is it in the right
cool.
format?
No, I'm writing it like a story right now. And then after I don't write it like a story, I'm going to then convert it to a.
Oof, that's going to take even more time.
Yeah, but I'm also...
Well,
you know
true, but that's
to,
actually
like,
not bad of a strategy
yeah,
either.
You know how hard it is to like actually like write a properly formatted screenplay? It breaks your flow constantly.
I did 3 of them in college.
Well, then I'll give you my fucking story when it's done. You can make it a screenplay.
I don't want to do that.
Oh, whatever.
Andres.
Both of you are impossible.
Petite Alice's Toesy Wozies.
Thanks, yes. Toesy Wozies.
Wasn't that the name, I think? Petite Alice's Toesy Wozies?
Yeah.
Hmm?
I think that was the name of them.
Yeah, Alice.
Okay. Well, I knew it was Alice. Sure. Andres!
Yeah, before we continue, how about a score recap?
That'd be nice, yeah.
Yeah,
Christian, you and I are tied at 6, and wow. Corey, you have 2.
Oh, I actually scored something.
Yeah.
I didn't think I did.
It's a high scoring game.
Yeah. Yeah, not bad. Corey, this is your chance to make up some points. Make up some ground here.
Bring it.
Yep. So, no theme for me this week, as usual.
SpongeBob.
Because, SpongeBob we've already done. I'll still keep Steely Dan in the back pocket.
This weekend's soundtrack is brought to you by Steely Dan.
People think I hate Steely Dan. I don't really hate Steely Dan. It was the concept of Steely Dan
the amount of memes, that one meme, the Steely Dan meme. The amount
of people where
that
woman's
that
looking
at saying,
very
Christian.
The girl with the Steely Dan concert being in the Wikipedia article. Yeah.
Yeah, wait. Colleen sent me that, and she's like, yeah, this is Christian.
My issue isn't with Steely Dan, it's just that I have no knowledge of Steely Dan, so it was very left field.
Well, that's what was funny, is that you just got so irrationally angry at like having no knowledge of Steely Dan.
You picked like the one band I knew nothing about, I swear.
Yeah. I still like how you just blew up and said, like, unexpectedly and unnecessarily when I gave you multiple choice.
I think it was also I haven't gotten mad for a couple weeks, so it was just kind of like building up, and then I got released it all at once.
Enticing, Andres.
Corey, this is great. I'm getting a show that I didn't even have to pay a subscription for. This
a while back, Corey got his nipples pierced and engaged him. He actually just put like a padlock through the nipples and was like spinning it around.
I did. It was very painful. Don't get your nipples pierced.
Andres, what do you got for us, bud?
Yes. All right. So, usual state of chaotic randomness. So, first question. Scientists have developed a new kind of chocolate called this. Your options are super dark chocolate, ruby chocolate, or double milk chocolate.
Ruby chocolate.
Corey?
Super dark sounds good.
Can you name the options again?
Super dark chocolate,
uh-huh.
Ruby chocolate, or double milk chocolate.
Ooh, double milkies.
And this is a new name for chocolate?
No, this is a new kind of chocolate.
Oh, well, double milk chocolate, I think, has actually been a thing.
Double milkies.
I'm going with Ruby, too.
Both of you are going Ruby? Well, both of you are correct.
Hey. Woo! So it wasn't that other one?
I'm going to get my hand.
It wasn't that other one. Not a Super Dark. What was the other one?
Double Milk.
Double Milkies.
That one. Oh, my God.
Really to just do I that. Just, yeah.
Yeah. He definitely did, because I walked right into that one. All right. So I got this from... Yeah, I got this from IFL Science.
What'd you guys walk into?
The double milk.
Oh my God!
Thank you.
So I got this from IFL Science. For the first time since white chocolate was introduced into the world, scientists of the Barry Callebaut Group have invented Ruby chocolate. The new kind of chocolate is made from, wait for it, the Ruby cocoa bean, and it took 13 years to develop.
Wow, very creative with the naming.
I know, right? The finished chocolate, and I quote, offers a totally new taste experience, which is not bitter, milky, or sweet, but a tension between berry fruitiness and luscious smoothness.
I remember hearing about this, and I've yet to see Ruby chocolate out in the wild. Now I want it.
My berries.
Yeah, I'll cover that in a second here. Oh, okay. So, yeah, so no berries, berry flavors, or color is added. It all comes from that cocoa bean. Ruby chocolate was unveiled to the world in 2017 in Shanghai and will eventually be sold at different price points. At the time that IFL Science wrote the article, Ruby chocolate has only been sold to chocolatiers and confectioners thus far, and the composition of the new chocolate remains a mystery. So even I think to this day, I don't think it's hit the market because I haven't seen it yet either.
Interesting. And if Wegmans doesn't have it, fuck all. No one does.
Yeah, that's right. Trader Joe's probably does.
Maybe.
Oh, you know what other chocolate I wish they would carry?
What?
The double milky.
Double milkies. Okay, God damn it. I had one more in me.
Yeah, so listeners, if any of you have heard of Ruby chocolate or have even seen it in stores, let us know, because now I'm kind of curious to try it.
It does sound interesting.
Yeah. Give me 1 second here. Both of you got that correct. All right. Ready for question two?
Yeah.
Corey raised his hand.
Yeah, I saw that.
Sorry. Okay, I'll allow it.
Okay. After class. All right.
After class. All right, second question. Records show that Alaska Airlines flight 737-200 experienced a midair collision with which of the following native wildlife in 1987?
Pterodactyl.
Your options are?
Flying Canadians.
Ooh.
Bald eagle. Polar bear. Pterodactyl. Flying Canadians. Char or osprey?
Was polar bear an actual option?
Yes, it was.
I'm going to go bald eagle.
Okay. Corey?
Because the last time I checked, polar bears don't fly.
They don't. But I'm going to go polar bear.
You are going to go polar bear?
Just because for that off chance that somehow a polar bear got up in the air.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, all right, Corey, you're going polar bear. Christian, you're going bald eagle.
What do I have to lose?
If it's polar bear, I'm going to kill myself.
It might also be an osprey.
Yeah, well, you'll be happy to hear that neither of you are correct.
Oh, thanks, God, I live another day.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a char, which is a kind of fish.
What?
Did a bird? A bird must have dropped it.
Let me read this. So I got this from Alaska Airlines. March 30th, 1987, flight 737-200 was just lifting off the runway from the Juneau Airport when pilots saw an eagle with a fish in its talons. The eagle initiated evasive maneuvers in order to not collide with the airliner. In the process of performing said maneuvers, the eagle lost its grip on the fish, and the pilots saw this fish fall with style towards their plane. The pilots then heard a thump just behind the cockpit window. Upon inspection at the plane's stop in Yakutat, showed the extent of the plane's collision with said fish. And I quote, "There's a greasy spot with some scales, but no damage."
That's really funny. See, that was kind of my my thought process with the polar bear.
But
yeah,
the problem,
like literally just taking just off taking the polar off, bear, just kind of like
running,
kind of like
jumping
does one of
or something.
Yeah.
See, I heard
tries to lunge at it before it gets midair.
You heard midair, and you're thinking like 10,000 feet up, like how, what are the polar bear doing up there?
Yeah, I'm like, polar bears don't fly that high usually.
Yeah, usually.
Yeah.
Sometimes and, they're special
and polar bear's white, so, and we all know that the white bear can't jump.
Oh, man, that's good.
Unexpected, Andres.
Yeah, very.
Thank you. Just to finish up the write-up here, one of the pilots estimated the fish to be between 12 and 18 inches in length, and the species of fish to be a Dolly Varden char. Although commonly mistaken for a trout, the Dolly Varden, according to Alaska Department of Fish and Game, is indeed a char.
I love a good Dolly Parton char.
I just love Dolly Parton.
She's a national treasure.
It's Dolly Varden, but you know, I'll let you guys slide with that one.
Dolly Parton, yeah.
No, okay.
Dolly Varden.
Yeah.
She do be farting.
She do them things do be farting. Andreas, number three.
Yes.
You see where we just don't know the words anymore.
Yeah. Everybody does that. It's a good tactic to have. When you just even though you don't know the lyrics, you just want to keep it going.
Exactly.
Yeah, so all right. Question three. You ready?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. In 1662, Portuguese Princess Catherine of Braganza married English King Charles II. During their reign, what activity did Catherine introduce that is now prevalent in everyday English culture? Your options are cheese rolling, drinking tea, or driving on the left side of the road.
Well, it's definitely not brushing their teeth. You know what I'm saying? Because they don't have fluoride in the water.
I'm going cheese rolling.
I'm going tea drinking. That's a dumb one. Court.
I was going skydiving.
Rocky Mountain climbing. I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu. I don't think that was a bull's name, honestly. It's a dumb fucking name.
Yeah.
Something like that. All right, so just to confirm, Corey, you're going cheese rolling. Christian, you're going drinking tea.
Tea, yeah. But like that's definitely the East Indie Trading Company that gave him that.
I don't even know what that means.
Well, Christian, you're correct.
What? What? I don't believe it.
All right, I got an explanation for this. So I got this from the UK Tea and Infusions Association.
Of course you
do. Upon his restoration... Gotta do my research, man. Upon his restoration to the English throne after the collapse of the Commonwealth administration, Charles II had inherited a number of debts. His solution to pay off said debts was to marry a wealthy foreign princess and require a large dowry. And after some negotiation, Charles II would marry Portuguese Princess Catherine of Braganza. Catherine's father, King John IV, provided Charles II with a large number of ships filled with luxury goods as a dowry, which Charles II sold off to settle his inherited debts. One of the goods brought to England because of the marriage was tea. Portuguese traders had been importing tea from Asia, and its high price helped it become very fashionable among aristocrats and the Portuguese royal court. After Catherine of Braganza married Charles II, its popularity began to spread among the English royal court, then to English aristocrats, and then to the English upper class. And according to the...
I actually said aristocrats earlier, Andres.
Shit.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't an English major for a reason. And according to the UK Tea and Infusions Associations, at the time I wrote this write-up, over 93 million cups of tea have been consumed in the United Kingdom so far today.
That's a lot of tea.
That is a lot of tea.
And that's what we say, he spilled the tea.
No, that's not where that comes from at all.
On the tea.
That's no...
That is absolutely 100% where the kids got that phrase.
No, that's not.
I watch a TikTok once.
Okay.
Yeah, uh-huh. I'm hip. I do the dancey dance.
Oh, and did they tell you on the TikTok?
I listen to Lizzo. I'm cool.
Corey and I were talking about how much we hate now that we're at the age where our like connection with youth culture is truly just TikTok.
I man and woman upon me.
See, I wouldn't, if it wasn't for TikTok, I wouldn't know what that was.
Yeah.
I didn't know what Lizzo was until TikTok.
If it wasn't for TikTok, I wouldn't know what a quarry was.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now right. That's the tea.
That's the tea. Brought to you by letter T for tea.
Yeah. All right, you ready for question
I hate
four?
It here.
Yes. We love having you here, bud.
This is only question four. You're doing great.
I honestly think this is a quick Andre section, actually.
Your question's been really good so far.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. You thought I was going negative, didn't you?
Yeah. But that's okay, because Megan looked me dead in the eye once and told me your questions are by far the best, so I'm good.
Wow. Burr, 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 burr.
All right, then.
Yeah.
What are you going to do about that one? Nothing. Can't do anything about that one.
Punch her in the mouth.
Punch her right in the mouth. What's your question, bud?
Don't do that.
Don't punch my sister in the mouth,
we
please.
Like Megan.
Yep. All right, so in 2018, a Canadian woman was shot but her organs sustained no damage whatsoever because this thing stopped the bullet.
A moose.
Your options are her cell phone, a metal button on her jacket, her breast implants, or her purse, which was made of very thick leather and packed to capacity.
I'm going metal button on the jacket.
I'm the power of boobies.
Christian, you are correct once again.
It's always.
So, yeah, the answer is her breast implants. Yep, I got this from CNN, of all places. In Toronto, Canada, a 30-year-old woman was shot in the chest. While seeking treatment at a nearby emergency room, x-rays showed that the worst injury this woman sustained was a fractured rib on the right side of her chest. Long story short, the bullet entered her skin through her left breast, ricocheted off her sternum, and lodged itself into her right breast. Her implants changed the trajectory of the bullet, which ultimately saved her life.
That's cool. Good for her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's probably like, probably went back to her folks, and you're like, you said this is a waste of money.
Yeah, probably.
I'm proud of her.
Yeah. But yeah, I'll take getting shot and only walking away with broken ribs.
Yeah. Listen. Better than getting shot in the knee, according to Tarantino.
Or the gut.
Or the gut.
Or the butt.
I'm going to actually say the butt would probably be one of the best places.
I was saying, still painful. I'm saying according to Band of Brothers.
If you're going to get shot, I'm saying. I don't want to be shot.
I'm going to pick the pinky.
The pinky? No.
You mean tell me someone's like, I'm going to shoot one part of your body. I'm going to go pinky.
Yeah, no, that's going to hurt. You have little nerve endings in there.
But it's still just pinky.
Also, they use that as a torture method in Boondock Saints.
What, the pinky?
Yeah. They shot one dude's finger off at point blank range.
Yeah, but again, given the other options, I'm gonna pick pinky.
I don't know.
Have you ever through that.
Have you ever just had random hand cramps and like pain?
No, because I drink
water. Oh yeah.
Well, aren't you just fucking great?
And hydrated.
Water, where is my water? I didn't bring it down.
Speaking of water, juicy, yummy.
I did. It's behind us.
Andres, what's number five?
What's behind? Oh,
I found
five,
it.
Buddy.
Speaking of water, shortly after the Civil War ended, Americans started killing each other over this aquatic animal. Your options are the blue crab, the Atlantic sturgeon, the oyster, or the striped bass.
Oyster.
Blue crab. Blame it on Maryland.
Fucking Maryland.
Yeah. All right. So, Christian, you're going blue crab. Corey, you're going oyster.
Yeah, because they want the pearl.
Mr. Squidward. Well,
Corey, although your logic might be slightly off, you are correct.
Hey!
Ooh, I got three.
Good job, bud.
Yeah, so yeah, it is the oyster. So I got this from Wikipedia and A Taste of History on PBS. In a slight
you
fall
watch
from grace.
PBS?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, that surprised me.
PBS is nice. Andres is upset. You upset.
I'm sorry. Andres, you can watch whatever you want, bud.
I hope Quentin Tarantino finds you and backhands you across the face one day.
I do too, honestly.
I hope Quentin Tarantino finds you and licks your feet.
I do too, honestly.
He's like, bet.
Yeah. All right, so what was I saying? In a slight fall from grace, Americans went from killing each other over states' rights to killing each other over oysters.
Wait, states' rights to do what?
Own slaves.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's a civil war, man.
There's people who would argue that.
There's people who would argue a lot of things, man.
That's
true.
There's
people that argue that still now.
But yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. That's why I made sure we like...
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where was I? In the 1880s, the Chesapeake Bay was the source for nearly half of the world's oyster supply, and oyster beds in New England had been exhausted. So fishermen from New England were coming to the Chesapeake Bay in search of oysters, which led to violent clashes for control of the Chesapeake Bay and ultimately its oysters. The state of Virginia passed legislation making oyster dredging illegal in the 1870s, and soon after, local fishermen still continued to harvest oysters, but did so while armed in order to protect themselves from any out-of-town fishermen or local authorities. So, you know what that means the states of Maryland and Virginia had to deal with?
Poachers.
Oyster wars.
Parking wars.
Christian, you were closer. Oyster pirates.
Oh my god, I love this.
I've come for your booty.
And exactly.
I'm just horny.
So Maryland founded the Maryland Oyster Maryland founded the Maryland Oyster Police Force in 1868, and Virginia Governor William E. Cameron led expeditions against the oyster pirates. neither organizations were all that successful in getting rid of the oyster pirates. And fast forward roughly 80 years, where in 1959, H.C. Byrd, commissioner of the Potomac River Fisheries, orders the fisheries to be disarmed after an officer killed a Virginia waterman who was illegally dredging. And this move is credited with bringing an end to the oyster wars. So technically speaking, there was on and off violence in the Chesapeake Bay for roughly 100 years.
Jeez. Yeah. I actually did know about this. I forgot about it. There was an old pirate ballad that went, "I'll sing you a song, and it will not take long, of the time I turned to the seven seas. I sailed far and wide across the ocean tide for search of piracy. The oysters I found, the men I shot down, the ships they sunk before. And when I got home, to there I did roam, I found myself an oyster whore." I didn't know what it was about until, like, right now.
Very good singing.
We got that all on video.
Thank
you.
Honestly, a little shaky, not my best on the fly song, but I'm okay with it.
Still, that was excellent.
Thank you.
That's going on social media.
That's definitely going on social media.
I got a video of it.
Excellent. But yeah, that was the Oyster War or the Oyster Wars, and that was my final question for episode 24.
Yes, look at me, distinguished gentleman.
I hate that we still clap and we have a clap button.
Well, it's okay. You can do both.
I just get into it.
It's our show. We can do whatever the fuck we want.
That's right.
I can sing oyster shanties.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right.
Are we ready for the final score?
No.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
All right. Well, in first place, with a whopping 9 points,
jeez,
is
Corey.
Christian.
Oysters.
Christian.
Good job, bud.
Thanks, bud.
Yeah. And in second place with 6 points is
Corey.
Me. Oh.
Good job, Grace.
Yeah. Thank you. Corey, you ended today's episode with 4 points.
Good job, Corey. I take that back. I demand an applause.
Yeah.
That's
all I get.
I would have given you more.
Lest we forget, you thought you only had 3.
That's true.
And look at me now with 4.
Yeah.
Look at me
with
now.
4.
Look at me now. I'm getting paper.
I know oyster songs, but not a...
Yeah, no, that was all right.
Well, boys,
that was fun.
Episode 24.
Yeah, that was episode 24.
I'm proud of us. I think we did a humdinger of a job. And
yes, as always.
And fans, I hope you think we did too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you liked what you heard today, please consider subscribing to our podcast and donating to us at ko-fi.com/dumbtrivia.
You can locate all of our social medias and other ways to find and interact with the Dumb Trivia crew in the description of this podcast. Scroll down a little bit on your phone. We're there.
And also, a special thank you to Uncle
John,
for your very, very, very generous donation to Dumb Trivia.
Andres, you do one. NPR voice.
Want to be a part of the show? Send us a listener-submitted question of the week to dumbtrivia@gmail.com or any one of our socials.
Okay.
Yeah. Good job.
Yeah.
Thanks, boys.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know where to find us.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
And what do we say?
I love you.
Yes.
I'll see you next week.
Oh, wait. Did everyone catch my little Easter egg at the end of the last episode?
What was that?
Or last episode proper. I can't remember. We got to check either the last after show or last.
Oh, no. It was the last of the after show where it's like, what are the three words that we.
Don't tell them. It's an Easter egg. You got to listen to the whole thing.
Wait, what was it? What?
I'll tell you when you're older.
Okay. All right, we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
All right. See ya. Roll the outro.
It's Dumb Trivia, where the questions are dumb and the hosts are dumber. It's Dumb Trivia. You'll probably learn a lot of things you didn't want to discover. You don't win anything, but that's all right. You can look down on your buddies with your bragging rights. Hang with Corey, Andres, and Christian, too. They're best friends, now they're friends with you. Knowing nothing is the only criteria. Come on, it's Dumb Trivia.